Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm so excited about today's guest, and I think all of you are going to be as well. I have Tom Schwab with me today, and Tom knows how to build an online business. Marketing at its heart is starting a conversation with someone who could be an ideal customer. Tom helps small business owners, entrepreneurs, and solopreneurs get featured on leading podcasts their prospects are already listening to. Then he shows them how to turn listeners into customers. Author of Podcast Guest Profits, Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy, and founder of Interview Valet, the concierge level booking service. It is my pleasure today to welcome Tom to our show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Belinda, I am thrilled to be here, and I'm definitely working from my happy place, and it's not just because we're both in the state of Michigan.
I know. Isn't that awesome? I did not know that you were from Michigan. So that is, and we've had a lot, and I tried to do that in the very beginning of the show, is have a lot of people local here to Michigan so I could really help our state and just really help the people locally to kind of get their businesses out there. So I'm thrilled that you're from Michigan. That was a great bonus and a great plus to find out.
Well, with the internet now and we're all connected, I think we're all close no matter where we live. And, you know, the wonders of podcasting connects us all. So thank you for putting this together and thank you for having me on.
Great. Well, why don't you just start by telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself and a little bit about your journey and how you got to this place where you are today?
Sure. For me, it only makes sense looking backwards. You know, my life only makes sense in the rearview mirror. I grew up in the Midwest and then had the opportunity to go to the U.S. Naval Academy, see the entire world. And I loved it because, you know, as a kid, I'd been as far west as Iowa and as far east as Indiana. My world was small. Then I got to see the entire world. And after I got out of the service, I came to Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I remember taking the job on a snowy February day and saying, I'll take the job, but I'm not going to die here, because I didn't want my world to get small again. And, you know, thankfully now with the technology that we have, man, if you're isolated or ignorant, it's by choice. You know, we can connect with everyone and make the world, you know, really connect with the world. So over these years, I worked for a Fortune 500 company in engineering, then operations, sales, and marketing. Then I started my own company, and we grew it from a regional player here in Michigan up to a national leader. We sold that and then had a lot of people that were asking me, well, how did you build your company? What is, you know, inbound marketing? And really, it's just using, you know, the internet, using content to attract people, to engage them and delight them. And one of the things that we saw is that some of the old ways of doing it with blogs, it just didn't work nearly as well. People weren't reading blogs like they did, say, a dozen years ago, or now they're much more competitive. What we saw is that, you know, the same rules applied. You know, still content is a great way to connect with your ideal customers, but the way they're getting that content has changed so much. You know, I always say there's no breaking through the noise anymore. I was flying out to California and the guy next to me could have been my ideal customer, but he had his earphones in. You know, there was no breaking through that noise. What I needed to do was get in on the conversation. And what we've seen is that podcasts, and especially being a guest on podcast, is a great way to get in front of your ideal customers. And, you know, marketing at its heart is just starting a conversation with somebody that can be an ideal customer. So that's what we do at Interview Valet. We help thought leaders get in front of their ideal customers and turn listeners into leads.
That's wonderful. So tell me then how this business has shaped your lifestyle. So obviously, I know that's always a big question, but people have dreams of, oh, you know, owning my own business would bring this. But share a little bit about how that has really affected your lifestyle.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, I'm 51 years old And so as I look at this, I wanted to have a business that I loved that I didn't want to retire from. And I've done a lot of different things. Like I said, when I was in the Navy, I was gone for a year at a time. I give people that do that a lot of credit, but that's not for me. I was a sales rep, and I covered my distributorship was the state of Michigan. So, you know, there were times where I'd put 60,000 miles a year on the car. And I looked at that and said, no, that's not the way I want to do it. You know, the company that I grew and sold, it was a physical company. Everybody came to the same office in Kalamazoo. And, you know, one of the things I realized that not all the creative people in the world live in Kalamazoo, nor want to relocate to Kalamazoo. So I looked at that and said, you know, my lifestyle, I don't want to be tied to an office. I want to work with the best people, the most creative people, wherever they are. And you know, I want to have it fun. So really that's how we've designed this company. So we're a virtual company. Everybody, you know, I shouldn't say that. There's two people that live in the state of Michigan, but we've got people, North Carolina, Colorado, New Hampshire. I'm going to miss other people there, Alabama and Idaho. And we all, you know, connect virtually. And one of the things that I've really set out for myself is going forward, my wife and I have committed that 1 week out of every month, we're going to live and work in a different city. Now, our youngest is just graduating from high school, so we haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, with the connection that we have, I can do my job any place. I've done podcast interviews from home, from work, from vacation, from hotel rooms. So really just trying to build the company and build a life so that it's not dependent on one location. Because ultimately, a number of years ago, a buddy of mine and I talked about that if we ever retired, we would drive our wives crazy. So our idea of retirement was we were going to do fun things with interesting people and write it all off as a business expense. And when I turned 50, I looked at that and said, well, that's really what I'm doing right now. I don't want to retire. I love what I'm doing, and really just setting it up so that I can do this, as long as I want to.
You know, it's really interesting on that, because when we started doing the research for what were we going to name this podcast, and I wanted something that was about being able to love what you do and at the same time be able to take that work anywhere you wanted to take it, be able to do it from anywhere you wanted to do it. And actually, it was an interview that we had heard about a young man that for 2 years sort of checked out. He had worked at Google, and he said, I'm going to show that I can still continue to do my job from anywhere in the world. And so he kind of traveled all over the world while still keeping that job and blogging about it and showing that you literally in today's market space, like you said, you know, it's a global economy, that we literally can do our jobs from anywhere. And so in hearing that interview, it was really the premise of why we targeted the show that we the way that we did. And so I think that is great that you and your wife are going to do that 1 week out of every month. I think that's fantastic. And I really think that you probably should, you know, blog about that or journal about that, because I think that people, even though it's available, they still don't believe it or they don't see how they could do that. I have a nutritionist that I work with, and this year has been a transformation for me on getting healthy, not just going on a quote unquote diet, but mm-hmm. like trying a new lifestyle. I'm in my mid 50s, so we're close on that same sort of path there. And I'm like, okay, it's time for me to not say it's just age or it's just this. No, if I choose to be healthy, I can choose to be healthy. And she and her husband have an RV that they travel in, and they do both of their jobs from this RV, and they just travel wherever they want to be. And she works her business, and it's predominantly online. She can ship out whatever products or things that she does. And it's like, wow, that's pretty admirable. They're kind of getting to see the country. They're not seeing the world right now, but they're getting to travel around the U.S. They're getting to park wherever they want to be, see the sites that they want to see while they're running their business. And that's pretty impressive. I think that more and more people are choosing this lifestyle because it's like, I can work and I can enjoy other things in life at the same time.
Very much so. And we're not back in the factory society where you've got to go to the factory to get the work done. It can, you know, as long as you're connected and can add value, you can do it wherever you want. One of my favorite stories is we were out in California for a week and, you know, I'm on East Coast time or my body's on East Coast time. I'm an early riser anyway. So no matter what the clock said, my body was telling me about at 2 a.m. it was time to get up. Well, it was great. I could, you know, at 2 a.m. get up, pull out the computer, you know, get almost a full day's of work done, you know, by 8 o'clock, and then say, hey, I've got the work done here. Let's go out and enjoy California here. And so we go out there. Maybe I'd take a nap in the afternoon. And granted, my body was still telling me at, you know, at probably 7 or 8 o'clock, it was time to go to bed. But still, we could merge the life together. I don't think it has to be that, you know, we've got decades of working in the sweatshop so that we can get, you know, hopefully a couple decades of enjoying it in retirement. It's like, no, I want to enjoy it the whole time, because that whole retirement, it may not come, may not have the health. And I think that's one of the things I focus on too, is that that's my limiting thing is the health and energy that I have to enjoy my life and to be productive in my business.
Absolutely. And I think that for me, just sharing a little bit on that, it's like, that's how I saw it. It's like, okay, yes, I'm getting a little bit older, but gosh, that doesn't mean that you can't be really healthy. And I have to say that this year is really has been a transformation. And I have more energy now than I've had in the last 10 years. And so I think that people don't have to settle. They don't have to say, well, I'm this age now, or this is what you have to deal with. I think every single one of us are able to create our own circumstances, no matter our age, no matter where we live, no matter what our background is. And I think that so many people buy into this is just the way it is.
And the other thing is that there's a lot of things wrong in the world, Belinda. There's a lot of problems. But if you wake up in the morning and realize all the tools that we have, you know, you should pinch yourself on how great it is. And I was recently talking up in Lansing, and it struck me that, you know, here I had I took an afternoon off to go to speak to about 70 marketers. It was a great presentation. I was glad to be there. I was thrilled to be there. But during the conversation afterwards, I mentioned to them that this is the most time I've ever spent to speak to the fewest number of people. And they said, well, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, well, you know, here I took, you know, an hour and a half to get up there. I got there early, did the presentation, had the hour and a half drive back, you know, to talk to 70 people. Well, with technology on a podcast interview, I can sit in my home. I can sit out on the deck and talk to thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people, without any commute, without any cost, without really any of the hassles that used to go with that you'd have to fly to a city or drive to a city. You know, it's just amazing the technology that we have, and you know the things that, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, only the biggest companies could afford. Now, pretty much everybody has them, and they're for free. You know, right now we're talking on Skype, and you know, it doesn't matter where you are, it's free.
No, that's so awesome, isn't it? I do a lot of my work with Australia through Skype, and it's awesome because it literally is free. And I think I'm surprised at how many people, when we even invite them on the show, we say, well, we're going to do it through Skype. And they're like, oh, I don't have a Skype account. So I'm still pretty much amazed by that, because I don't think people realize the resources that are available to them, just like you said. All right. So tell us about two of your greatest skill sets. Now, I always like to say that the show is inspirational and it's educational. And this is the educational piece where people like to know, okay, you know, Tom, what makes you tick? What makes you sort of be able to go out there and make it happen? What do you think your two greatest skill sets are?
To me, it's the first one's got to be tenacity. From the standpoint of, I'll keep working at it till I figure it out. One of the best compliments or worst compliments that I ever got from a customer when I was in sales is he said that he didn't know if I was the stupidest sales rep out there or the most determined. But he said, either way, I just kept coming back. And, you know, with time, he became my best customer. So he said everybody else gave up way before that. So that persistence and that tenacity, is definitely one. And then the other thing is just being a lifelong learner. I enjoyed school. I enjoyed learning. And there's so many things to learn today. And there's so many easy ways to do that, that I think the people that can be the early adopters, those early learners, can really stand out with that. And like I said before, you know, today, if you're ignorant, it's by choice, because all the information is out there. People are willing to help you learn that. And some of it is, you know, some of it may cost you, but that information is so valuable. I saw the other day that I think it's MIT. All of the classes now are online and free. Now, you can't get the degree, you can't get the grades, all the rest of that. But if you want the education, all it takes is that commitment. So to me, it's the tenacity and always learning.
I would agree, and I'm going to make you drill down a little bit on tenacity, okay? But I want to just touch on the learning piece. I always say, you know, you have to always remain a student. You always should be learning. And if you don't continue to learn, you don't continue to grow. Because when you decide you know it all, you have nowhere to go but backwards. And I think that that is a lesson that I run into all the time, where people are like, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, so what classes have you done? We're always learning. I'm sitting here constantly learning, taking webinars that, you know, I took a webinar recently, and honestly, it didn't offer me any insights, but I had to know if it did. So you don't know if you don't know. And what if I'd have gotten one gold nugget? You know, I read all the time, and I always say, every book has got at least a nugget in it if you're looking for the nugget. And I just think that a lot of people think I don't have time for that, and they don't carve out that sort of learning or professional development. And if people would continue to always remain a student, they would see incredible results.
Very much so. And I look at it as like cross-pollination. You know, if you look in nature, the only way that fruit is born is from through cross-pollination, right? New ideas, all the rest of that. In nature, it happens automatically. But for us, we've got to intentionally go out there and be exposed to new ideas. And you can do that from going to conferences, meeting people, reading books, or, you know, podcasts. And I always tell people, just listen every now and then. Listen to a podcast that is just weird, that you never would listen to, because I can guarantee you there's going to be something that somebody says in there that's ordinary to them, but will be amazing to you. And what a great and easy way to cross-pollinate.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to ask you a question on podcasts in just one second. So don't let me forget about that, because it's a big one. I'm writing it down right here. But I want to go back to tenacity, because I work with a lot of salespeople. That's what I do. Like, I say I'm a motivational speaker, but I'm really a sales trainer at heart. That's what I do. And I would say to you that this is probably the greatest challenge that a salesperson has, and that is they give up before they get there. They give up. They start to have doubt. Doubt starts to sink in. Then they start to question whether the lead is even really any good. And then they say, well, if the person really wanted it, they'll call me back. I don't want to be bugging them. I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to, you know, I would say that tenacity is the hardest thing for a salesperson to really master. And so you feel that this is one of your greatest skill sets. How do you deal with that voice in your head? Can you just share a little bit, like, okay, yeah, like the guy saying you've got to be either, you know, the most determined or the stupidest. So obviously, when you kept going back to the guy, you must have questioned yourself even in the early days a little bit. But like, what conversations did you have with yourself to push through? What did you say? Okay, where does that tenacity come from? If you could just and maybe you haven't even identified that, but just think about it a little bit, because I'm telling you, that is a salesperson's biggest downside, is that they give up before they get there.
And Belinda, you're right. And I think it's only getting worse, because we all look at social media and everybody is an overnight wonder, right? Everybody is amazing, and you don't see the work that went behind it. So from that standpoint, everybody thinks, well, you know, it should be easier. I just must have the wrong leads, the wrong whatever. So I think some of it is just setting those expectations that you've got to work like a dog for years to be an overnight success. So having that long-term view and that realistic view of that, and that can help come from mentors and learning from other people, and learning like really them, what they are, not just, you know, what they are now, you know, looking at the biography of them, if you will. So that's one of them. And the other thing that really struck me early on that one of my sales managers told me that's always struck with me, he said, do you think you could help that person with what you're offering? And I've said, yeah, his life would be much better. You know, I could help with this and that. And he's like, okay, so if you just give up on that, you're giving up on him and giving up on how you could help him. So it's not that you're trying to sell him something. It's you're trying to help him. And sometimes, you know, people don't always want the help, but you don't just, you know, wash your hands of them. No, just keep coming back and just focusing on that. And that's one of the things I've always focused on. Patience is not a virtue of mine. You know, I always say patience is a virtue, but it's not one that I have. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. But I've always tried to look at the long term of it. You know, where do I want to be long term with this? And sometimes that's where the tenacity can really put in. And I think some of it too, from a sales standpoint, can be based on the culture. You know, I was blessed. I was fortunate to have a lot of great sales managers, a lot of great mentors that really focused on the sales actions, the actions that you're doing, not just the output. There's another great Michigander guy by the name of Brian Moran that wrote a book called The 12-Week Year. And he talks about leading indicators and lagging indicators. So, you know, the leading indicators are all the work you put into doing something and focusing on those. The lagging indicators are what comes out of that. So for sales, it's, you know, are you getting out there? Are you making the calls? Are you doing the follow-ups? And if you start measuring that, then all of a sudden the sales will come from that. You know, if all you focus on is getting a sale, sometimes you can get that for the wrong reason and not even know it. Losing weight is another one. You know, you can't just stand on the scale every morning and go, why haven't I lost weight? Well, if you focus on those leading indicators of, you know, have I exercised every day? Have I given up sweets? Have I given up this? If you start focusing on those, the leading indicators, then the lagging indicators come with that. So that's my long answer to what I see as tenacity.
That is great. And I always try to sum it up for people. And you said this, how can I help them? But it's like, don't think of yourself as a salesperson. Think of yourself as a service person. What service can I provide to you? And when you stay focused on the service, the sales come after. Instead of focusing on what can I sell you today, it's how can I service you today? And so that's how I try to help people to just, that sums it up, I think, what you said in a little tiny nutshell.
But Belinda, you are so right. And I had a customer tell it to me better than anybody. He called up and I took the call because the customer service people were all busy. So the call ran to me and he's like, you guys are great. You're just like Preparation H. And I just paused for a second and said, okay. And he's like, no, it's a compliment. He's like, right. So you were doctor recommended. We were selling medical equipment at that time. He's like, you're doctor recommended. You provide fast relief. And he says, you took away the pain in my rear end. And after that, it really struck me is that all of us are selling Preparation H, right? Nobody cares about your product or your service. They care about their pain and making it go away.
That's right. That's awesome. That's a good analogy. So here was my other question that I had for you, and then we're going to continue on in our interview. Maybe you can say I'm right or wrong because I only know what I've sort of seen in my experience that I've had with our own podcast. So my experience is that more men listen to podcasts than women. And when I've done massive interviews, I see that women aren't even like aware of the whole podcast movement. They don't listen to them as much. I find men listen to them. I look at my husband and he's in the morning getting ready for work and he's got one going while he's shaving, brushing his teeth, getting ready. Then he listens to another one of his shows driving to work. He listens to another show driving home from work. Like he's got probably like 10. And I think you said the average person has about 10 that they sort of subscribe to. But when I talk to women, like, oh, are you listening to our podcast? Have you got on what's a podcast? And oh no, I don't subscribe to any. And I've really found that the percentage is very small. And do you have any insights on that? Or is there any way that we can, help women to understand that this is a free platform. There's so much knowledge. It's so incredible. And they're missing out. Or am I wrong in my analogies?
You know, I've never seen it broken down by gender, Belinda, so I'm not sure. But I know that there was a recent study that came out that said only 40% of the U.S. population really know what a podcast is. And 30% would be considered podcast listeners. Now, that being said, those podcast listeners consume, on average, 10 hours of podcast content a week. And if they're like me that are, you know, listen at 1.5 times speed, that's probably 15 hours of content. The other thing it showed is that the average podcast listener was higher educated, a higher income, and at a higher commute. And so I think that sort of falls in line there too, right? So from the standpoint of, if you don't have the money to buy a smartphone, you're probably not listening to podcasts. You know, if you've got a new car where the podcast can automatically download to the dashboard, you're more likely to do that. And we see a lot of people now that are commuting that are listening to podcasts. So instead of, you know, talk radio and the weather reports, they're listening to podcasts. I think what's going to be interesting here is that we'll never get to 100% of the people listen to podcasts because some people aren't audio learners. You know, not 100% of the people watch television, not 100% of the people read, but there's always going to be that percentage that are audio learners. And I think podcast is sort of a weird name because there are people right now, my youngest listen to podcasts. They love them, but if you ask them what an iPod is, they would look at you like, I have no idea. It's really gotten to be more like on-demand radio. And like I said, that the new cars now, you can download on-demand radio straight to your dashboard. The other thing is that often what we call podcasts are repurposed. So Sirius and XM Radio, a lot of what you hear on that is actually podcasts. I was on an interview one time in on a podcast, and then 6 months later, got a call from a couple buddies that lived in Phoenix, Arizona. And both of them reached out to me and said, hey, I didn't realize you were in town today. You know, let's get together. And after I got the call from the second one, I called them back and said, what makes you think I'm in town? And they're like, well, we heard you on the radio this morning on Morning Drive. And it was really just a podcast that was repurposed, put out on that. So I think probably more people listen to podcasts than they actually know that. And I think it's going to continually change on that. I think it's in some ways that history of podcast or calling it a podcast scares some people off. I think it's going to be more on-demand radio that they'll start listening to.
Great. That's a great answer. All right. So I always like to say, what's one of your greatest accomplishments? And then, you know, counter that with what's one of your greatest challenges. So let's do that. I want to get through the end of our interview here. And I know we're running out of time. So quickly, one of your most outstanding accomplishments that's super meaningful to you?
The people that I've helped in my career that can come back to me and say, you know, my business wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for you. The clients that we have that just said, you know, that call me up and say, hey, we were just on a podcast and, you know, we got 12 ideal customers from that. To me, that's the things that make the difference.
That's awesome. And now one of your greatest challenges or obstacles?
To me, once again, is patience. From the standpoint, I've got the vision in my head of where I want something, but it takes time. You know, just because you work twice as hard on a baby doesn't mean that it comes in any less than 9 months. So from that standpoint, just the patience with it.
Do you have a story you want to share with that? Because people love stories. I think this is where, like, this is how I worked through it. Or does not one come to mind?
Oh, it comes to mind every time I write a business plan. And, you know, that I always say the best part of fiction that I've ever written or ever read is one of my business plans, because it's always these projections. And I always look and say, you know, well, if we did this, this, and this, you know, we would be at this amount of sales in 12 months. Well, it's going to take time. You know, not everything works according to plan. So maybe that 12 months is more like 24 months. And that's where the patience comes in, and really go back to that tenacity that I talked about of just doing the right things. I remember early on, one of my sales managers, I came up with my yearly plan and said, okay, I'm going to close this person, this person, this person. He had me add it all up. And he says, if you add those all up, that means you're going to go from one of the newest sales reps to the number one sales rep in 12 months. He says, you know, if you could do that in 5 years, you would be very, very successful. And I even try to share that with our clients now that, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. While podcast interviews work amazing, you know, it doesn't mean you do two and retire, that it's each one builds upon itself. So that would be my story for that of the patience.
Okay, great. All right. So now we've kind of talked a little bit about what working from your happy place means. So we kind of have that. But what advice would you give to our listeners who are like, man, I want to be like this guy. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to live that life. I want to be able to go spend 1 week out of a month working anywhere that I want to work. So what advice do you have to give to entrepreneurs?
Anybody that's out there that's listening, you have something to offer the world. You've got a great product. You've got a great service. You've got something that could help people. The problem is that those people don't know about you, right? You're obscure. And by changing your website, by tweaking this a little bit here, a little bit there, it's almost like rearranging the cans in your store when your store is in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It doesn't matter because nobody knows about you. And I think that's the biggest struggle we all have, but also the biggest opportunity, right? Because none of us need a million or a billion customers, but we've got access to billions of people. So if we can just find a way to connect with those people, to get them to know, like, and trust us, and for them to know how we could help them, boy, we can help our customers and we can help ourselves. And, you know, today there's no better, easier time to do that in the history of man. You know, you can do that on social media. You can do it through videos. You can do it through blogs, really whichever works for you. And one of the things I've seen that's easiest way is just to get on podcasts that they're already listening to. Tell your story and, you know, connect with those people. Because really marketing at its heart is starting a conversation with someone who could be an ideal customer. And don't try being the loudest person and, you know, breaking through the noise. Just get in on the conversation.
That's great advice. So tell us then some of the exciting things that you're working on. And then, of course, I want you to close with how people can find you and connect with you.
Yeah, we're working on, you know, like I said, my first job out of college was an engineer. And so I always am trying to test the system. We're always trying to see how we can make the results even better. So right now, you know, the podcast interview marketing system that we have is based on 3 years of data with over 100 different clients from different niches and different different areas on over 3,000 different podcasts. So we're always testing that. And some of the things that we're testing is what's the best thing after a podcast? You know, is it to send somebody to a webinar? Is it to send them to a video? What's that next step that can help them? And so we've got a lot of great clients that we're testing that out, working with a lot of top publishers that are using this for virtual book tours. Instead of sending their authors on a plane from city to city to city, they're spending a couple weeks where they just get on, you know, a couple dozen podcasts. So to me, it's just seeing this tool that we've built, this system that we've built, how can we use that to help even more people?
Great. And where can people connect with you?
Sure. Interview Valet is the easiest place. And I always say that if you're listening to a podcast, you're probably driving right now, you're working out, you probably don't have time to write everything down. So if you just go to interviewvalet.com/happyplace, everything Belinda and I talk about will be there. All my contact information, the stuff about the book, podcast, guest profits. I've even got a checklist there that if you want to get on a podcast, there's 9 tricks to get on your first podcast. There's a video. Like I said, we're testing more videos that will show you how to use this system. And if you just want to connect, all my social media and my email is there too. And please, I always say what's ordinary to you is amazing to me. And I would love to connect with you in any way I can.
Great. Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time out today. I know our listeners are going to gather a lot from this. And it's been really delightful chatting with you today.
Thank you, Belinda.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.